Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
Kristen had one job this morning.
I'm so sorry.
One job.
Dang it.
Now, I still have this blue nail polish on my fingers.
But that's a sign of a good Burt Big Adventure, man.
It's not often where a man will text a woman in the middle of the day and go, hey, do you have nail polish remover you can bring in?
No. Well, so you texted me at a weird time. It wasn't in the middle of the day. It was like around 6 o'clock or something. And a notification pops up on my phone. And we had a beautiful day yesterday. So I'm sitting outside with my neighbor. We're watching the kids play in the front yard. And I'm like, oh, Burt texted me. Thinking like, What could this be, you know?
Must be an emergency.
Right?
Bert's reaching out.
I know. And I started laughing, and I'm like, he needs nail polish remover. And she was like, she looked at me, so she's like, why would he need nail polish remover? I'm like, he lets the little girls paint his nails on Bert's Big Adventure.
And obviously, there's no nail polish remover in my house, and it seemed like a tremendous chore just to go to Target to get it. How much does that stuff even cost?
$4.99? I have no idea. Mine's real, real old, but it still works.
As long as it works, I don't care.
So I'm assuming you didn't match the shirt with the polish on purpose.
No, it wasn't on purpose. Okay. That's just a nice bonus. All right, Mo, I took a little extra caffeine this morning knowing this was coming, but I still don't feel confident.
So yesterday we started the Burt Show version of the Family Feud Fast Money Rounds, and Kristen and Abby both went, and you both did really well. Kristen needs to find a Family Feud set immediately and get on it to try to win some cash money rounds. She was amazing.
Didn't you go to a Family Feud
taping,
and you were really excited about it, but it took like 12 hours and you bailed on the second one or something?
No. We stayed the distance. We were there all day. So my friend Mike Morris, who works for you over at Pioneer, your podcasting company, his family, the Morrises, were chosen for Family Feud. So Tommy and I went to a Family Feud taping because they tape here in Atlanta. And they tape multiple episodes, right? And so you go through multiple families. And the family may or may not get chosen depending on who's there that day. And they were the very last family to go. And I'm not kidding you, we spent all day there. And Steve Harvey, and he's changing suits because, you know, it's different episodes. And you have to stay hyped the whole time because they're asking you to cheer and stuff. And they have, like, the hype guy who's working the crowd. But in between takes, I felt like I was getting lectured and preached at because Steve Harvey likes to talk to the audience.
He does. That tracks.
Yep. He does, man.
And I got to a certain point, I was like, stop telling me how to live my life. I just want to see my friend Mike and Lindsay answer some of your stupid questions. Like, this is what I'm here for, not for somebody to tell me how to live my life.
You know what we really should do later in the show today, or maybe save it for tomorrow? Like, what are the most overrated experiences?
That was overrated.
Yeah, like going to a game show is overrated. I think being an extra on a set also, because there's just a lot of waiting around and nothing going on. I would also suggest mostly backstage passes are overrated also. There's a lot of nothing going on backstage, but that might be fun later on today.
Okay. Well, this idea came from when Bert was once on a game show, and I've always heard people say if you ever get on a game show, it's a lot harder with the lights on when you have to do it with all of the pressure on. And so I brought it to the show hoping to get one of these moments, and here's an example of when someone kind of folds under pressure.
Name a U.S. state that is part of New England.
Spain.
Name a U.S. state that is part of New England. Spain.
Shockingly, none.
Yeah.
None on the board.
That's what I'm looking for. So hopefully we'll get one of those today. Let's play the Burt Show's version of Fast Money Round.
I am not feeling confident about this.
You were very brave yesterday, Bert, wanting to do this first thing in the morning.
Yeah, because we did it like at 8 yesterday.
We did.
Kristen and Abby nailed all of them, but the real test is doing it this early in the morning when your brain's not working.
There you go. All right, so let's see what we can do. You ready?
Yeah.
You up first.
Okay.
20 seconds on the clock.
Bring it.
5 questions. Clock starts when you answer the first question. All right?
You already know I'm not good under pressure.
Yeah.
This has been established over 20 years.
Name something you might do if you can't sleep.
Take a sleeping pill.
Name a type of music that people listen to at a party.
Hip hop.
Name a food you might find at a barbecue.
Chicken.
Name something you would pack for a beach trip.
A blanket.
Name a country that speaks Spanish.
Spain.
Should have said Delaware.
All right, didn't feel awful.
I think you did pretty good.
Didn't feel awful.
Let's see how you did. Name something you might do if you can't sleep at night. You said take a sleeping pill. That is not on the board.
How is that possible?
That is 0 points.
What do you want, Delta 8? That's not going to be on there either.
The top five answers are, number one is read a book. Then it's watch a TV, listen to music, drink water, check your phone.
Smoke weed didn't come in there at all.
It did not. Not even a little bit. I think your go-to-sleep habits may be different than the average person. Number two, name a type of music you listen to at a party. You said hip-hop. That is the number two answer.
Damn right.
50 points.
Damn right it is.
Number one answer was pop music. Name a food you might find at a barbecue. I'm going to be honest. I don't remember what you said.
You said chicken.
Chicken. Wow. That is not on the board.
What kind?
Did not make it.
Who cooks chicken at a like party barbecue?
I was going to say hot dogs or burgers.
I was going to say barbecue chicken.
I mean, but chicken should be at least in the top five. What are the others?
I can see how it's debatable. Number one was hot dogs. Number two is burgers. Three is corn on the cob. Four is ribs. Five is potato salad.
Potato salad? I'm calling Steve Harvey right now.
I'm with you. I'm not mad at you. Number four, name something you would pack for a beach trip. You said towel.
Blanket.
We going to give it to him? It's technically the number one answer is towel.
He didn't say towel. He said blanket.
Then there's no points. You get nothing.
So long as I got 50 on the first one, my partner's halfway there.
That's true.
And if I don't get this one right.
So, well, to give the answers, sunscreen, swimsuit, sandals, and sunglasses were acceptable answers. Name a country that speaks Spanish. You said Spain.
If that's not on the board, I'm walking out of here.
That is on the board. That is the number two answer for 60 points.
All right.
Mexico was number one for 80.
All right. So I'm already over the 100.
You are.
So my partner wouldn't even need to come out.
Yep.
No, you crushed. Are we doing one more round or we done here?
No, Cass.
Cassie, you up?
Yeah, let's do it.
I love going up against an Emory grad. This will be fun.
All right. So how many points total did you get?
110.
110 is the number to beat, Cass.
All right. 110 is the number to beat. 20 seconds on the clock, 5 questions. Clock starts after your first question. You ready?
How's chicken not on there?
Name something that people do when they wake up in the morning.
Brush their teeth.
Name a type of tree you might see in a park.
Pine tree.
Name something people often forget to bring with them when they go on vacation.
Sunscreen.
Name a place where people spend a lot of time sitting down.
Coffee shop.
Name something people do at a wedding.
Dance.
All right.
Ooh.
Okay. All right.
Good answer.
Let's see how you did. Said, name something that people do when they wake up in the morning. You said, brush your teeth. That is the number one answer.
All right.
Hey.
Thankfully.
Hey.
Get out of bed, stretch, use the bathroom, and eat breakfast. We're all on the board.
How many points on that one?
It's 50 points.
Okay.
Name a type of tree you might see in a park. You said, pine. That is the number two answer.
Look at you.
That is 40 points.
Oak, 90.
You're maple. 90 already. Yeah.
This is where it ends.
Oak, maple, birch, and willow are also on the board. Name something people often forget to bring with them when they go on vacation. You said...
Sunscreen.
That was not on the board.
What?
I would have... Yeah.
It's probably like deodorant or toothpaste.
Toothbrush was the number one answer. Passport, tickets, sunglasses, chargers were top five answers.
Most people are stupid.
Yeah.
Hey, nasty.
At least they're brushing their teeth.
Name a place where people spend a lot of time sitting down. You said?
Coffee shop.
That was also not on the board. Number one answer was living room. Then it was office, car, restaurant, movie theater.
So right now, if we were competing against each other, it would be 110 or 100?
90. Have that right?
990.
Okay.
You need 20 points to win. 21 points to win. Name something people do at a wedding. You said dance. For the win, that was the number one answer.
Yeah! People.
60 points.
Okay!
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I was shocked when I saw this on my timeline yesterday. It's one of those people that you don't think about often, so it's not like you're really mourning them, but it comes as a shock when you see that they passed away. Yeah. And of course, I'm talking about Gossip Girl's Michelle Trachtenberg. She was in one of my favorite movies growing up, Ice Princess. Like, I had the book with her face on it and everything, and all of a sudden, she's just gone. So here's what we know about her passing so far. So entertainment outlets are reporting that her mom was actually the one to find her in bed on Wednesday morning. Apparently they were together the night before. Her mom found her in bed, passed away. And
God, that's a mother's worst nightmare.
Awful. It's absolutely terrible. Mm. And of course, news is coming out that she recently had a liver transplant. So there are some there's a little bit of speculation that she had complications with her liver and her thyroid, and that is the reason for her passing.
I hate that. She was in a comedic classic for me, like a cult classic, Eurotrip back in the day, that not many people saw, but it's one of my favorite movies of all time. What a bummer, man.
I know, it's awful. And so all of her co-stars, like Rosie O'Donnell, Ed Westwick, Chase Crawford, they're of course doing what you would expect them to do, talking about how tragic it is.
Yeah.
But really what the overarching theme of their messages is, you got to check in on your people. Like, you just never know. You really can't take for granted that people are just going to be there.
This was so shocking to me that when it popped up on my phone, I literally stopped a meeting halfway through to be like, oh my God, because she's the same age as I am. And for millennials who came up, she was Harriet the Spy. Like, she is one of our childhood stars. And you saw her in Gossip Girl and Eurotrip, but she was around for like a ton of my childhood. And so seeing this, we're not peers. I'm not getting it twisted, but it feels like an age peer, and someone from my childhood to see someone pass away so young is jarring and shocking. And it reminds me of the time, this is weird, but when Lisa Left Eye Lopez passed away and I found out about it, or Aaliyah, these people who are such big parts of your childhood. You know how there are some celebs that just shock you?
Sure.
Like, I'm sure for many, Liam Payne's death was so jarring and shocking. This is one of those for me and for a lot of millennials,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for my generation, it'll be the Brat Pack, you know? That'll be shocking.
Well, actually, something that's really interesting that's come out of this whole thing is that Blake Lively also posted about Michelle Trachtenberg's passing, and it was the longest out of everybody's. I mean, she posted like four paragraphs to her Instagram story. And of course, a lot of people are coming down on her and criticizing that she's just doing it for PR. But now is not the time to be critical and mean. Like, Blake Lively's going through enough right now. But you got to let people mourn regardless of what they're going through in their PR lives. All right, Drake is under fire too because he just canceled a bunch of tour dates. This is pretty shocking. I think the first thing people thought was, oh, okay, he can't handle all the public backlash about Kendrick Lamar performing Not Like Us at the Super Bowl halftime show, but he's officially called off his current Australia and New Zealand tour dates. In a statement that was provided to Rolling Stone Australia and New Zealand, Drake's rep said that it was due to a scheduling conflict, which makes no sense.
Zero sense here. I mean, we're gullible, but to have a couple of continents, a tour on schedule. You got to plan that years in advance. How are you going to have a scheduling conflict now?
I think he's suffering. This is just, a theory, but maybe he's suffering from PTS. Poor ticket sales.
That's not what. There are some sold out shows.
Really,
it's sold well.
Yeah, and the album's really doing great. You told us the other day.
That's, I think, is. And this is just a guess as well. I think it's mental health with Drake. I really do. I think it's taking a toll on him, and I think he is trying to push through it. And he has reasons to push through it because, like Abby mentioned, the tour really is doing well. The album is doing well. But I think Drake is hitting a point of needing a minute.
Yeah, I think so, too. And that's why I suggested, even though it's never been done, I don't think in the history of hip-hop, you'd know this better than I, just coming out and just going, you know what? I took the L. I took the L. But by pretending it didn't happen and really not facing it authentically, publicly, I think you might be right, man.
Because there's even like parts of his records where he'll mention people like LeBron James, for example, and that small line goes viral and then everybody is now digging into is their relationship fixed? I'm sure he's at a point where there's nothing I can do where I'm not being attacked, and maybe he just wants to sit down for a second.
As a hip-hop fan, if he just came straight out and said, this is the reason. You know what? I got crushed in this battle or whatever in some other way, but I need some space, and I thought that I could just gut my way through it. As a hip-hop fan, obviously, that has never been done before. Mm-hmm. Do you look at him weaker or stronger?
Personally, I would look at him stronger, but I think J. Cole is a perfect example of what it looks like when a hip-hop artist comes out and says, I don't want to do this. I'm going to sit this one out. I mean, they crushed him for it, so I think it would be similar for Drake.
And I'm curious as the thinking, because wouldn't you want to be surrounded by the people who love you most? So if you needed to be lifted up, I feel like being surrounded by your fans at a sold out concert would make you realize that I'm not taking an L. I still have plenty of people out here who have my back and who support me and who love me and who are paying good money to come see me and are buying my album. That would help like drag you out of that muck.
I agree. And I think that's why he went there initially. That's why he went to take his tour there. But I think Drake is human like most of us. And you focus on the aspects that are not the love more than you do the love.
All right. Diddy says attorney Tony Busby shouldn't be filing lawsuits against him in at least one federal court. And he wants the judge to shut him down now. I'm going to tell you why on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Thankfully, the timing of this couldn't be any better. I have a therapy appointment set up later on today. Thankfully, right? So I'm not doing them often now, but I'm doing them like once a month, and I need it right now. And I don't know if you guys go through these periods or not, but there are just some times, a couple of times a year, where I just feel... Dang, I almost hate saying it, man, because I do have it really good. Joyless and restless. Joyless and restless. Like, I can't find joy in, like, anything that I'm really doing. Like, I'm going through the motions, but I don't really feel like I'm absorbing it. And I just feel like I'm trying to get to the next mediocre project to cross it off my list, but I'm not enjoying anything fully.
Yeah. So I don't connect with the word joyless, but I do catch myself, and you and I tend to be on the same cycle, that I'm not getting enjoyment. And it's not because of the things I'm doing aren't joyful. It's that there's so much on my plate. I'm constantly looking to the next thing. So I can't be fully in the moment to enjoy and appreciate what I'm doing because I got a million other things in my head that I'm looking towards. So it's similar but different.
I have found myself over the course of the last week and a half saying, well, at least you're not Cassie. I have used Cassie as my inspiration because it really does seem like Cassie at every turn seems like there's something going on in her life. In fact, a lot of us on Burt's Big Adventure this weekend were talking about how concerned we were about you because everybody has a breaking point. And it feels to me and us like time and time again, you're going through these major crisis things that are going on. So I've been looking at you and using you as inspiration. I'm like, well, at least I'm not Cass.
Major crisis like having to leave Burt's Big Adventure early because my husband might have had to go to the hospital. You know, things like that. It's fine.
And it's been one thing after the other for you, right? And then when I get like that, then I start to get lazy, where everything just seems like it's a chore, even the smallest little thing on my to-do list. Then I start sort of, separating myself from friends and disconnecting is the word that I'm looking for. So I'm going through it right now, and I'm not exactly sure how to pull myself out of it. And usually it's just time. Mm-hmm. Or I find like when I start attacking these things rather than being lazy about it, if I get proactive, then it tends to snap me out of it. But I feel like my confidence is kind of waned right now and I just can't seem to get out of it.
It's been the same for me for mostly like the last few years, I would say.
Years?
Yeah, the joyless part for sure. When you said it just feels like you're going through the motions, like that's what it's felt like. I've been trying to pinpoint exactly why for the longest. I really don't think I can, but normally what happens is something with time, something will happen and then it just clicks. And I'll be able to look back on it and go, that's what it was. And but usually as I'm going through it, I can't really see it. But I've experienced the same thing.
Yeah. So when it's long term like that and you don't snap out of it, like to me, that would indicate depression. But interestingly enough, ADHD can cause periods of joylessness and social withdrawal.
Hmm.
So if that's something that you're struggling with, that could be it. But there's no easy fix for it, I don't think, besides making yourself snap out of it, like you just said.
And I'm still working on all that also.
For me, I mean, I think I hear the word snap out of it. And I think if I had heard those words when I was going through periods of joylessness, because I've absolutely been there, that it would feel like it's somehow in my control. And I don't think it is. I think the overarching thing here is like sometimes it does just take time. For me, I think my most recent bout of joylessness, and I think maybe I labeled it as depression, was I felt like I was going through the motions and I felt like my life was starting to feel like not monotonous, but it was either staying the same or things in my life were getting worse. And it wasn't until I was able to take like some tangible steps that felt like I was accomplishing something, even if it's just responding to that email that's giving you anxiety for the last 2 weeks, it gives you like those little hits of dopamine that sort of rebuild your confidence and your self-trust that help you feel like a more capable human again.
Gosh, and here I am coming off like Bert's Big Adventure, which gives you so much perspective in life. And I've said this to Kristen time and time again, one of my favorite things to say is try easier, right? But then you come off a trip like that and you're supposed to be experiencing, I think, this different kind of perspective. And when I'm not, I'm just like, what is the matter with you?
Are you struggling with your purpose?
I don't know. I think I've always kind of struggled with that, even though I feel like I've left a wake of goodness behind me.
For sure you have.
Yeah.
And if anything, after seeing what we experienced and what was accomplished on Bert's Big Adventure, because I know your legacy has always been something that you've thought about. I would hope after a trip like that, you would see the wake of good that you have left and that would leave you fulfilled. So
right.
I'm curious as to why.
Right. Part of the frustration is I agree with you and I don't.
Yeah.
So it's a well-timed therapy session today. I'm going to pay her double today. It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
The Academy Awards are right around the corner, and I think you get to a certain age, you just start to miss the experience of actually going to the movies. Life gets in the way. I know that when some of the nominations and some of the other award shows were rattled off, I'm like, what?
Who?
And when I was younger, I would have known every single one of them, but those days are gone, Rebecca.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Hollywood's biggest night is this Sunday. I'm excited. I'm always excited.
I'm always excited for the fashion. Like I'm a bigger fan of the red carpet than I am the actual awards ceremony.
The fashion is really fun. Obviously, like Zendaya will be there. Timmy will be there. I like his fits this run.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, made me think. I don't know why I'm going back to Stank Tank with Jackson and Mikey. But remember when we were trying to find an icon to wear the shrivel shirt, the wrinkled shirt, so nobody had to do laundry anymore?
Oh, Zendaya.
Duh.
Yeah.
Zendaya. If she wears a wrinkled shirt, everybody's going to be wearing a wrinkled shirt.
Truth.
Truthfully.
I thought you were going to say Timothy Chalamet because that seems very up his alley for some
reason. It does seem like Timothy Chalamet would wear a wrinkled shirt.
Yeah, he's going more Tommy Bahama these days.
He's really trying to be like a chill fashion dude.
I don't know if it's because of he's assumed the Bob Dylan personality or what's going on with him.
Maybe it's like that Austin Butler thing where you like take the personality traits of that character that you've been embodying for the last couple of years. For Austin Butler, it was the voice, and for Timothy Chalamet, it's his bad fashion sense.
I haven't been following it too closely, but it seems like every time that I'm looking at another entertainment site, more A-listers have signed up to announce the awards this year. Why has there been such an influx? What does it have to do with?
I don't know.
I mean, normally when you're a presenter, it's because you are promoting, like you have something to promote, a project of some sort. But with the Oscars, that's not typically the case. A lot of the times what they've done is whatever that category is, they have a past winner come out and present that category. So like, best actress will be a most recent best actress winner and et cetera.
So what are we focusing on this morning?
Yes, this year I am challenging you guys to go up against me, the Bert Show cinephile, and I still really like that word. I think it's a fun word.
Sounds a little dirty if you think about it.
Anything with file at the end.
Yeah. No,
it doesn't fly right.
It's start just, with saying down.
It's got good mouth feel for me. So at this point, I've seen all of the Best Picture noms.
I have.
And I feel like I've seen most of the movies with like smaller nominations, except for like documentary and foreign films, because like, who cares, I guess.
See, I like those because sometimes there are subtitles, so you're getting credit for watching a movie and reading at the same time.
Okay, so I would guess you guys have probably only seen Wicked.
Correct.
Yeah.
I have not.
We have not. Mo and I had a plan. We were going to go one night, have some beers, and go see Wicked.
We both backed out.
Yeah, we both backed out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going to need something a little stronger than beers. Knowing what the two of you all like and have, like the amount of sports you talk during commercial breaks, you're going to need something a little stronger if you two bros are going to go see Wicked.
That's fair.
So I got the idea for a challenge because you guys know when like people ask like their babies or their dog to fill out their fantasy football draft.
Yeah.
So you guys are my babies and my dog.
Okay. I'm flattered.
I'm challenging you guys to beat me at the Oscars Fantasy League.
Okay.
So
okay.
In front of each of you is a ballot. By the end of today, I want each of you to select your picks what movie will win. There's a lot.
There's so many.
There are so many.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, this goes hand in hand with the generation that we're living in now. It used to be 5 movies that were nominated, but now it's like 48. Oh, 48 yeah. in every category.
Yeah, we're going through all the teeny tiny little awards.
Let's go ahead and look at Best Picture because that's going to be that's obviously the biggest award of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So, nominations are Anora, The Broodlist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked.
I am so out of touch. I have not seen one of these movies.
They're all a complete unknown for me.
You haven't seen any of them?
Not one of them.
How about so you guys, like besides Wicked?
It's like when you're betting on the ponies. You're like, ooh, I like that name. Yeah, I'm just going to choose that one.
Yeah.
Have you guys, the rest of you guys, seen all these movies?
No, I've seen Wicked, and that's it.
That's
the rest of the world.
Okay. Yeah, that I've only seen Wicked.
Yeah, I've seen them all. Okay. And honestly, I guess I will make my pick right now. I'm telling you that the winner of Best Picture this Sunday at the Oscars is going to be The Substance.
No, that's biased.
Okay, that's what I want to win, but I don't care. The Substance will win.
No, it will not. The Brutalist will win.
You're right. You're absolutely right. The Holocaust movie.
Emma?
Yes.
Oh, is that what it's about?
Yeah, write it down. Write that down right now.
Started with a B. My name is B.
Yeah, so I am challenging you guys to beat me, who has seen all or most of these movies. And if you win, you get this little trophy that is plastic. It's sitting in my Amazon cart, and it says, Your did it.
Your did it.
This group doesn't even need that. We are so competitive with each other. Even when we're playing the most superficial games, there's nothing on the line. We're still very competitive.
Oh, I'm taking it down.
I found another one I saw under animated feature film, Inside Out 2. That was really cute.
Okay.
I'm going to vote for that one.
That's good. Do you guys want to do some like rapid fire picks?
Well, as I'm looking at this whole list, to be honest with you, no disrespect to Hollywood, but we say this every year. The show is so long. Mm-hmm. So long. I'm looking at all of the categories. There really are only 5 that we're interested in. We could wrap this whole thing up in 1 hour.
They got to sell those ad dollars. They know we're going to stick around for the end for Best Picture, so they got to drag it out as long as possible.
And these people deserve to be recognized.
It's their art.
Does it have to be during prime time? No.
We could have recognized them by actually going to go see their film, but we didn't.
When you go to a festival, not everybody makes the main stage. So maybe they should have like a...
They do that.
Do that?
Yeah. No, there's another like a... I don't know what it's called.
Are those the movies we actually heard of?
No.
It's like not, a side stage?
It's like a day before or something like that, and it's like the technical Oscars or something, so they go more in depth with like the production aspect of it. So that's the stuff that doesn't make the TV.
I'm going with Kieran Culkin just because I've seen him in other things, and he's really good.
Oh, so are you looking at actor?
Supporting role. Actor that's in a supporting role.
Okay.
That's a strong one, actually.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah,
it is.
That's a good choice.
Because he won the Golden Globe?
Yes, I believe he did for A Real Pain, which is also a great movie. Two Jewish people going to Poland?
Because Jeremy Strong, remember, Kieran Culkin and Jeremy Strong, who both were featured in Succession.
Such a great show.
And Jeremy Strong's face when Kieran Culkin won the award, because, you know, he's such a method actor, which is why he was in that Dunkin' Donuts commercial, like submerging himself in coffee beans.
Right. Okay. So we're going to go through every single one of these and see who can do the best and who can beat you.
Yes. Good luck.
I do think your analogy was very smart in the beginning, saying, you know, like when you typically do like NFL picks, it's the five-year-old that ends up crushing everything. Other people are like researching it and spending so much time. When you don't have an education, you might be better at it.
Hey, my three, almost four-year-old called the Super Bowl, man. I asked who was going to win. He said the green team. And look at that. The green team won.
Wish you would have told me before the game.
He also had a 50-50 chance.
Whatever.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Jackson is determined to catch them all. And it's driving you crazy. Pokemon cards?
Yeah, I know.
What? What?
I know.
Is this still a thing?
I thought
it went away too.
I did too.
It's bigger than ever now.
Oh yeah. Have you seen like the vending machines with the Pokemon cards?
Come on. There's no way it's bigger now than when Pokemon Go was a thing.
That was pretty.
That was huge.
That was huge.
You're right. That was like
wild.
A cultural phenomenon.
I'd be walking around campus and like losers would be bumping into me, being like, "Where's my Pokemon? Look up, Jason. Look how you're going."
I think it is though. I think maybe with like accepting Jackson, younger people, because I know a dad who goes to like the store and will buy the Pokemon cards, and he sits in the car with his son and unwraps them. Like it's their thing.
Yeah. Aww, that's really sweet.
I will say, so Jimmy was just at a birthday party. He's three, and inside his goodie bag were a couple of Pokemon cards. And then my nephew, Eli, who is six, that's all he requested for Christmas this past year. He wanted the binder with the pages, with the cards. So I was like, oh, Pokemon's still a thing with the littles. You're not a little, though.
Yeah, it's children and myself.
Okay. So.
Jackson, I played Pokemon like 3 days ago.
Did you?
I love Pokemon.
See, thank you, guys.
Are you doing it as an investment or because I'm just looking at the number one Pokemon card in the world, the most valuable one, is worth $5.275 million.
Shut up.
Okay. That's the Pikachu Illustrator card.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That might interest. Explain, Jackson.
Yeah. Okay, so the problem is, for you to get valuations like that, those are for all of the old sets that are never going to be printed again. Finding those is basically impossible. There's like four of those cards, or maybe one specifically of that one that exists total right now.
Logan Paul is the one that owns that.
Of course.
Yeah. During his fight with Floyd, he actually came out with that chained around his neck with the diamonds around it. Yeah, it had the card in it.
Stop it.
Got it.
I'm so confused.
All right.
Yeah.
We're literally a caricature of ourselves.
Yeah, I know. It's like a giant spoof parody bit that everyone is doing just constantly, right? I wish that I could say it's an investment. And I think originally when I, you know, started picking this up a few months ago, it was like, it's a hobby. And then I was like, oh, there's some real value in this. Oh, it's an investment. But the amount of time and money that I've put into this at this point, it can no longer be considered either of those. It's just straight up gambling is what I'm doing.
How much? How many cards, how many hours, how many dollar bills?
Okay, so I go and look for, so I'll say that when I started out in this hobby, like it was pretty popular, but I picked the worst time possible because it has exploded in popularity in the last, like I would say 2 to 3 months, where before I could go to any old Target and there'd be cards on the shelves. I'd be able to get what I want, leave. No big deal, right? Now it's like a war zone out there. You go to any Target and there are the shelves are totally cleared. People who will go and find the exact times of restocks and they'll hide cards underneath shelves so that they can go back and get them. People, there's a huge scalping market that is out of control where they'll go and they'll buy up the entire inventory and then resell them for like a significantly higher price. It's crazy. So I would say I go looking for cards after I leave the studio probably 3 out of 5 days a week.
What?
It's okay.
And I was about to say four. And dialed it down.
He's like, what's the percentage number? Right. Depends on the week, okay?
Three doesn't start with an F, right?
I have a route that I take of like two or three different targets that I hit. Also, the vending machines are in Kroger's. And then I've talked to enough employees now to where I know restock dates and times, so I can kind of time it a little bit better for myself.
Oh, my God.
You could be working for the CIA with that kind of, like, intel drive.
I mean, I put a lot of time into this. And so each pack is roughly $5.
Okay.
And I've probably, on average, spent maybe $100 or more a week.
A week. That's crazy town.
For the last couple of months.
The last few months. I mean, we're in over in the thousands of dollars now.
So if you were to spend $100 a week for the next year, that's over $5,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
And again, because I don't understand hobbies, I wish I did. I always have to do something that has an end game. I appreciate a hobby from other people. Is this strictly a hobby for you, or is there an end game?
The end game is broke.
You know, it's funny because there's like there's multiple different sets that are out at any given time, and each set has one specific what they call the chase card. This is what everybody wants. It's the most valuable card.
What's the current chase card?
So the current chase card in this most recent set is
use the words. So use the dorky words.
Okay, the set is called Prismatic Evolutions.
Okay.
And the chase card is the Umbreon Specialist Illustration Rare.
It just gets worse.
Have you ever felt less cool than you do right now?
No, the main question, do you still have a girlfriend?
She's just as into it as
I am. Love it. Okay. Love this for you guys.
She's fully committed into this just the same as me. Like, we go out together on the hunt for these cards like a lot of weekends.
You just gave me a great idea for a daily bit for us. What was yesterday's rock bottom?
Okay. This is not rock bottom.
Yes, it is.
Everybody has a rock bottom during their day, and it's going to change up and down. Okay. Chasing a Pokemon card from
that may be your rock bottom, but it's not his rock bottom.
Agreed. We'd have to take a look at our own lives and go, okay, here's what I'm presenting you with today.
You know, I think if I was, you know, in a couple of years and I look back to this, maybe I could say that it's rock bottom. But right now, I'm like, I'm running on a crazy high when I'm looking for these.
I see the sparkle, and like, I don't know what your girlfriend's going to say, but I see the sparkle in your eyes when you talk about Pokemon cards. Which, by the way, you've talked about your girlfriend on this show multiple times. I have never seen that sparkle.
That is so foul.
About Pokemon.
You did it dirty.
Oh, my gosh. Just buried that. I thought it was rock bottom. It turns out that Kristen dug in even deeper.
There's a lower level.
It really is. So this specific card that I'm talking about here goes for about $1,400, $1,500.
Okay.
So that's pretty hefty. And then there's a whole other aspect to this entire thing where after you get the card, you look at it and you can get it graded by one of like five or six grading companies that are out there. Okay. So you pay $15 on top of what you've already spent to ship the cards out. And then they inspect the cards and look at it and they give it a rating on a scale of 1 through 10. And if you get a perfect 10, then it increases the value like 3 or 4 times the amount. Okay.
Here's Jordan. Good morning, Jordan. You are part of the Burt Show.
Hey, how are you? Yo, Jackson, just keep going. My son, he does Pokemon cards, and we got that card from Walmart. He pulled it like a month ago from Walmart. But he's also like 7, so he doesn't really care. He just has it in the binder.
What?
So, well, congratulations.
Are you guys? You're going to start hitting up Walmarts now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Walmarts are usually the worst for me. Those are usually the ones that I don't touch because they're always totally bare and dry.
Really?
So, yeah. Jordan, is the card that he's describing the one he said is like worth $1,500 now?
Yeah, I looked it up online. Like, once you could take a picture, so I went to Google thing and I took the picture of it, and it was the exact card that everybody's looking for. And my son goes, "Oh, cool!" and puts it in his binder. And I'm like,
"Don't bend it."
My son would be mad at me. That card gonna go missing.
That's daddy tax.
That's daddy's
card.
Just remember, it's not rock bottom. It's geek chic. It's rock bottom when you become Post Malone and you spend $800,000 on a Magic the Gathering card.
You know, if I had enough money to spend $800,000 on a card, I think I would honestly do it at this point.
Here's Brian, who is an adult collector also. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Love your show, by the way. Long time P1.
Thank you.
But, man, do what you want to do. I'm an adult. I'm a content creator and a collector. I do get a little bit of money from it when I do content on TikTok. And if you go down the Pokemon world on TikTok, there are probably hundreds of people who make money, and this is their living, is doing this online. So do keep doing what you're doing, bud. I have my own collection over $25,000 over the past 20 years.
Yeah, you certainly have the potential to make more there than you do here. I mean,
I've been thinking about starting a TikTok channel for it because I've got to make, really? I got to recoup some of the money somehow, and I am deep in that Pokemon algorithm on there, let me tell you.
Hey, we're giving you a hard time, man, but if it's giving you joy, keep doing it, man.
Do what you love, yes. Love what you do.
I will.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We have a lot of entertainment news today that's kind of big downer vibes. So I want to talk about something a little bit more fun until we get into the hard-hitting news. And I want to talk about Millie Bobby Brown because I think a lot of people were shocked to see her new look on the red carpets recently over the weekend. A lot of people were like, whoa, she looks completely different. And I think a lot of people don't understand why. And I think once people know why she dyed her hair blonde and seems to have this spray tan look about her, I think it's going to make a lot more sense for you.
I didn't recognize her in a picture about a week ago. I was wondering when I was looking at it, who is this 35-year-old celebrity that People Magazine is highlighting? And it was her. So I don't know if Georgia has aged her because she's living here now in the country or what, but maybe it's for a role. I'm not sure, but I didn't even recognize her.
So there's a lot of speculation that it might actually be for a role, and it's going to make a lot more sense now when you see the bleach blonde hair that a lot of people are like, that doesn't quite fit her look. She normally has this long, glossy brown hair. She normally looks very youthful, typical for her age, but she is actually the top pick fan cast wise, and there's a lot of rumors that she might actually get the role to play Britney Spears in an upcoming biopic. And I think when you put her photo next to Britney Spears' photo, it makes so much sense. So she's either gunning for it hardcore and is doing all the method stuff beforehand so the director and the casting director see her and go, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Or she already has the role. So if you were excited to see her in the biopic, know that that's coming your way.
Or not.
But if you're not, then, you know, there's that too.
We're not excited.
No.
Who
we're
would
not.
You pick to play Britney? Not a British actress. I would pick a Louisiana actress. Look, she doesn't. So I have
but
no.
But Britney fakes a British accent all the time.
That is fair.
That's a good point. This is kind of meta if you think about it.
Bobby can be the Mona Lisa, which is Britney's like British accent. But here's the thing. I have nothing against Millie Bobby Brown, and I think she's an incredible actress. I think the work she has done has aged her to look like 35 or 40, and I'm not saying that in a mean way. It's just a lot of older women have that work done, so when you get it done younger, you look like them. That is not what Britney Spears used to look like. Now, different story. Back then, Britney was super natural and really like embodied this childish innocence, which is why so many young like women and young girls really liked her, and which is why her Rolling Stone cover was so controversial because she looked like a schoolgirl.
Right.
She didn't look like a woman. So I don't think you can have someone, depending on what period of your life you're playing, you can't have someone who looks like an adult woman playing that role because then you're not going to be a teen pop star.
Yeah, I get it. And there's a lot of other names that are being thrown out there instead. Olivia Holt, I think, is the other top pick for Britney Spears. If you Google her, they have a very similar appearance. And she, I think, embodies more of that youthful look. But yeah, that's why Millie Bobby Brown's look has completely changed recently, apparently.
Cassie, as the Britney Spears stan, who would you like to see playing Britney Spears in her biopic?
Genuinely an unknown.
No. Okay.
I think anyone who's already in the Hollywood spotlight, like I've heard Sydney Sweeney mentioned, all great actresses, but at this point, I think you're going to have to come out of the woodwork with somebody who's unknown to really get an authentic belief role, or unless you use prosthetics. I've seen people use prosthetics. Like, I think, who played Elvis?
Austin Butler.
Oh, Austin Butler, yeah.
I think he did a great job, and his voice changed, so I think it's doable. I just don't see it happening with the current roster of Hollywood actresses.
How about Britney? She's out of work right now.
She's too old.
Let's just have her play herself. It is weird seeing another A-lister play another A-lister. Like, it kind of takes you out of it, where it's like, okay, I understand that this is Millie Bobby Brown performing a role, but all I can focus on is the fact that it's Millie Bobby Brown playing Britney Spears.
Is this an unauthorized biopic or is Britney Spears hands-on with this?
It's authorized. So she's being involved. She's put out a couple of weird things on social media saying that it's now a musical. I don't know if that's true because John Chu, the director behind Wicked, is doing the film.
Oh,
so,
he is?
Yeah, so we're going to see. Maybe it is. Maybe she actually is playing herself and maybe Millie Bobby Brown just wanted to go bleach blonde.
Oh my God, Ariana Grande should play Britney Spears. That's the one A-lister I would let like be down with because she can do the imitation perfectly.
Oh.
And watching Ariana and Wicked, I did not see Ariana. I saw Glinda. Like she actually is able to transcend her celebrity status.
And Britney is goofy. And Ariana played goofy so well in Wicked because she has really good comedic timing.
Yeah.
But Ariana sings well.
Britney sings well. Fun fact, she changed her voice to sing like that because during her first recording studios with Max Martin in Sweden, they said she needed a gimmick, and so that's why she sings that way.
I'm just trolling.
No, I need Ariana Grande to go back to brunette. Well, anyway, everything I was going to talk about this break is getting pushed to the next one. So Diddy is saying that there's at least one federal court that he believes his civil cases should be dropped. It's coming up, maybe, on your next E-Buzz on the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.